The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com is AI making us smarter or just more reliant on technology? This article was written by Krish Desai on October 1st. Picture this. You're in front of a blank screen, unsure how to start an essay or solve a tough math problem. In seconds, AI can generate the answer, explain the process, and even make it sound better than you could on your own. So, you are left with a question. Do you attempt the work yourself or use AI to help expedite the process? Let me backtrack a bit. Imagine this same scenario just a mere 3 to 4 years ago, where AI models were not well known at all. You would have forced yourself to finish that essay, although it would have made the process take many hours longer. Many people think that AI has caused students and people in general to become dumber, as everywhere, it feels like skipping the struggle is just a click away. Now, we have to ask ourselves the million-dollar question. Is AI technology actually harmful to us and making us dumber compared to the AI-less generations? Or are we simply using our resources to our benefit? What is AI? This term has been a big buzzword in society for the past year or so. But many people do not know the exact impact of AI on society and how it even works. So, what even is AI? You're probably well aware of ChatGPT as a form of AI, but in reality, AI has many more uses, and you probably use it every single day without even realizing it. AI, short for artificial intelligence, is basically technology that can think in ways that usually require human intelligence. At its core, AI relies on algorithms and massive data sets to learn patterns and improve its accuracy. Machine learning trains systems to improve over time without being programmed for every single outcome. It explains why ChatGPT has such a range of vocabulary. Think about when Spotify suggests your next favorite song. That's AI. When Netflix somehow knows exactly what show you want to binge next. That's AI too. Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant all rely on AI to understand your voice and respond like a person would. Even Snapchat filters that turn you into a dog or make your face swap with a friend? Yep, that's AI. Even your For You page on social media uses AI, as it adapts to what you like to watch, as you may have already recognized. And it doesn't stop there. Cars like Tesla use AI to detect pedestrians and drive themselves on highways. Banks use it to catch fraud in real time. Even doctors are using AI to scan medical images and detect diseases earlier than humans can. And of course, tools like ChatGPT can write essays, solve math problems, or explain things in seconds. The benefits of AI: smarter, faster, more efficient. There is no denying that AI has boosted productivity in ways we could not even imagine a few years ago. tools such as ChatGPT, Grammarly, and AI assistants allow businesses to thrive, and people earn new skills quickly, generate ideas, and solve problems at lightning speed. AI can even code full apps now. In fact, if used properly, AI actually improves the potential to make us smarter. It can open up pathways for things not possible before. We know AI is more efficient than any other technology readily available. But did you know to what effect? AI has the power to significantly boost our economy exponentially. A 2023 McKinsey report found that generative AI could add up to $4.4 trillion annually to the global economy. Contrary to what you have thought, using AI actually helps students with writing assignments if used in the correct manner. A Stanford study showed that students using AI writing tools improved their draft quality by nearly 30% compared to those without it. Even in everyday life, AI is making processes much faster. According to GitHub, programmers using AI assistants like Copilot completed coding tasks 55% faster than those working alone. In other words, instead of replacing work, AI is amplifying it. With the right balance, people can use AI to learn quickly, reduce busy work, and as a result, achieve more as a person. The risks, over-reliance, and lost skills. It's hard to imagine what the drawbacks are of technology that adds $4.4 trillion to the global economy. But in reality, there are many drawbacks. With AI so available, people may skip the struggle that comes with real learning. Struggle is often where the deepest understanding is built. The hour spent solving a math worksheet, or the struggle to finish an essay without help. Over time, this reliance could erode critical thinking and creativity, leaving people dependent on technology rather than building skills themselves. Nowadays, students are breaking crucial study habits since they have been using AI as a fallback plan. And this attitude carries on to how they act/react in adulthood. We've experienced this kind of shift before. Calculators made complex math quicker, but also caused some people to lose basic arithmetic skills. GPS helps us get anywhere instantly, but many can't read a map anymore. AI could have a similar effect on memory, problem solving, and even originality if we lean on it too heavily. A study shows that AI technology has a very significant impact on people, eventually leading to dementia in their old age. As a result, dementia is progressing and appearing at a younger age than ever. Final verdict: is AI making us smarter? AI is not making us inherently dumber. It is simply a tool. And like any tool, its value comes from the way we use it. AI is redefining what intelligence looks like in a world where information and technology are abundant and rapidly changing. Yes, in some instances, we are losing skills that have defined us for years. However, this comes with a valuable trade-off: being able to have exponentially higher amounts of capabilities and achieve more as people. If we rely on AI to do all the heavy lifting, we risk losing the struggle that builds critical thinking and creativity. It all depends on whether we let AI think for us or let it push us to think better. maybe the better question isn't, is AI making us smarter or dumber? But what kind of thinkers will we become in an AI-driven world? Humans have never been dumb when using new and improved tools. We have always adapted to the tools available, from fire to the printing press to the internet. AI is just another tool in the rapidly developing society. The real challenge is not resisting it or surrendering to it, but learning how to integrate it into our lives without losing the parts of thinking that make us human. If we can strike that balance, then AI will be the reason we find success. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Study Talk Secrets: Productivity Hacks That Actually Work. This article was written by Nitya Jain on October 2nd. Everyone has noticed the reels on Instagram or the videos on TikTok about viral study hacks. From blurting to active recall, there are over 20 different study techniques. But how many of them are just words? And how many are truly impactful? After testing and trying them out myself, I've compiled a list of my personal reviews and ratings on the hacks that worked best for me. Active recall. Rather than passively rereading notes or textbooks, active recall forces your brain to retrieve information from memory. Read a section of your material, then close the book or turn off the screen. Ask yourself questions about what you just read, or try to summarize the main points in your head or on a blank piece of paper/whiteboard in your own words. Compare what you recalled with your notes and correct any errors. This is helpful because it strengthens neural connections and improves memory in the long run. Production effect. Sometimes saying things out loud helps them stick better. There is a benefit of hearing your own voice to increase retention. Especially for individuals with auditory learning styles, speaking out loud amplifies the learning experience, reinforcing what is heard and helping it to be remembered. After studying, say everything you can remember out loud. Try to do this in the most concise way possible, and make sure you aren't leaving any important facts out. This helps enhance engagement with the material, allows you to hear yourself say the content out loud, and creates a more personal connection to the information being studied. The Feynman technique. Sometimes teaching others can help you learn. This technique forces you to actively process the information rather than passively absorbing it. Explain the concept you're studying in simple language, using examples, as if you were teaching it to someone with no prior knowledge, like a small child. It may be helpful to actually make someone listen to you, so you can ensure that you actually know what you are saying, and they can ask follow-up questions. During the explanation, you'll discover areas where your understanding is shaky or lacking, and where you've used terminology you can't simplify or understand. Review the original material to fill in those gaps, and then re-explain the concept until it is clear and simple. The need to simplify complex ideas pushes you to really grasp their core meaning, not just memorize facts. This technique also pinpoints weaknesses. Explaining the concept highlights where your understanding is incomplete, revealing the gaps you need to address. And by simplifying the content, You make the information easier to remember over time. Spaced repetition. This technique is especially great for people who don't procrastinate. It involves reviewing material at increasing intervals over time rather than cramming it all at once. Review new material a day after you learn it. Review it again after 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, then a week, and so on. Mark the days you want to review on your calendar so you won't forget. This forces your brain to actively recall information just as you are about to forget it because you're spacing it out, solidifying it in your long-term memory. Pomodoro Technique. This is a time management method that I love using doing any task. It is designed to combat burnout and improve focus by breaking work into focused intervals. Select a task you need to complete. Study for a focused 25-minute period. Take a short 5-minute break. After 4 work sessions, take a longer break of 15 to 30 minutes. Use your breaks to step away from your work and refresh your mind completely. Breaking large tasks into small, manageable sprints can make them seem less overwhelming, helping you get started. The technique also trains you to work with time rather than against it, making you more efficient. Overall, these techniques may not work for everyone, but here are some that might. Optimize your study space. Find a distraction-free and well-lit area dedicated solely to studying. Maybe even switch up your study locations regularly to get a change of scenery and boost memory recall. Use background noise strategically. Instead of distracting music with lyrics, try listening to instrumental, ambient, or lo-fi music to enhance focus. Exercise before studying. Short bursts of physical activity, such as a 20-minute walk, increase blood flow and oxygen to the brain, which can improve cognitive function and memory performance. Manage technology distractions. Put your phone in another room or mute all notifications during study sessions to prevent interruptions and improve focus. Get enough sleep. Prioritizing sleep is crucial for memory consolidation and long-term retention. Some students who are night owls find that reviewing notes right before bed helps cement information. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Taylor Swift, Eldest Daughter Lyrics Are Being Rewritten by Eldest Daughters. This article was written by Kathleen Walsh on October 9th, and there is a note. This story first appeared in Glamour. Not every eldest daughter felt totally seen by Taylor Swift's Eldest Daughter, a track off of The Life of a Showgirl. In fact, disappointed eldest daughters have begun rewriting the lyrics to the song themselves and sharing their versions on TikTok, which is a very eldest daughter thing to do. Part of the problem seems to be that Swift's lyrics focus more on how she is perceived by strangers on the internet than how she is perceived by family as the eldest daughter. In the first verse, Swift sings, "Everybody's so punk on the internet," and "Everybody's cutthroat in the comments. Every single hot take is cold as ice." In the chorus, Swift sings, "But I'm not a bad bitch, and this isn't Savage." In fact, Swift only uses the phrase "eldest daughter" once in the whole song when she says, "Every eldest daughter was the first lamb to the slaughter." This is probably the track's most poignant lyric, but it is immediately underdone by the following line, "So we all dressed up as wolves, and we looked fire." Unsurprisingly, many of the eldest daughters who listened to the song felt like the eldest daughter experience could have been more movingly described, and so took it upon themselves to fix the problem. One such creator focused on small changes, singing in her version, "We all dressed up as wolves just to survive," and changing the "bad bitch" line to, "I'm not a bad kid, just got a habit." Others made even bigger changes to the chorus. One sang, "I'm not an actress, I'll burst into ashes." Another creator's version goes, "I've tried to bury this pain that I've carried." Yet another sings, "But I'm not as strong as the narrative's plot plans." Each of these versions keeps to Swift's general theme of vulnerability, but with slightly more sophisticated language that brings the song back to the titular eldest daughter. Most of the new iterations keep some version of Swift's original chorus, in which she says, "Never gonna let you down." But one creator decided instead to reference an earlier Swift era, singing, "They're moving the goalposts, can't tell which one hurts most, that I'm back on the bleachers again, or that they don't trust me with my pen." One of the most popular rewrites has a chorus focused on the romantic element of the song, singing, "My heart has been ravaged, still I'd let you have it." The lyrical changes aren't even necessarily personal to the creators, although some of them definitely are. For the most part, these rewrites are just trying to clarify Swift's original message. Some changes smooth some of the more awkward turns of phrase. For instance, many people tweaked the original, "I have been afflicted by terminal uniqueness." In the other new versions, "So many traitors, smooth operators," becomes, "So many traitors promised me favors," or, "Sudden displacement, high expectations." But under nearly every video in this trend, commentators agree that taking it upon oneself to fix a disappointing pop song is quintessentially eldest daughter behavior. Ironically, the kind of thing that isn't really referenced in the original lyrics. It's safe to say that The Life of a Showgirl has not been Taylor Swift's most lyrically lauded album. But the good news is, there is a legion of eldest daughters out there who are ready and willing to pick up the slack should Swift decide she needs it. Our next article, from theteenmagazine.com. Is it necessary for teens to learn about religion in school? This article was written by Pragyang Raj Pandey on October 6th. Each day, we hear about religion. Every day, wherever we go, whatever we do, religion always follows us. Nowadays, with social media, the overuse of the word has reached record-breaking levels. According to an article by the National Library of Medicine, religiosity is an increasing ideology in adolescents, ages 12 to 17. Is this overexposure good or bad? Also, does this have any future consequences? Schools, the worldwide educational hub for teenagers, have historically exhibited themselves as the source of many religious debates. Scholastic activities have been the reason for religious division in many parts of the world. In dictatorships, the primary education system has been exploited to spread religious propaganda. In contrast, through schools, concepts like equality and secularism have spread through society, raising awareness in all age groups. Despite this, do kids need to learn about religion in schools? The reaction to exposure from religions mainly depends on two factors, maturity and personal opinions. According to a local survey, religious understanding is incomplete without maturity and personal opinions. These factors draw the line between healthy religiosity and extremism. Keeping this in mind, it is important to understand the varieties in maturity and personal opinions of students. Without this, the religious study inside the classrooms can never prove itself effective. Educators must acknowledge these differences to ensure harmony in the classroom. Historically, this variation has long posed challenges in teaching and learning. Keeping the aforementioned information in mind, teaching orthodoxy and devotion in schools can have great consequences, both good and bad. While selectively learning and embracing information can be extremely beneficial, maintaining an individualistic approach to religion in a diversified classroom can cause trouble. After all, every student deserves equality, regardless of their beliefs. Approaches like comparative religion approach, phenomenological approach, and anthropological approach can be fruitful in these conditions. Throughout the years of religious studies, comparative religion approach, phenomenological approach, and anthropological approach have been highly regarded as effective teaching learning methods. By comparatively demonstrating religion, prioritizing perspectives of mortals, and comparing the beliefs and practices, religion can be effectively taught. This methodology helps in maintaining a balance between religion and avoiding favoritism. Finally, avoiding favoritism and maintaining balance is the trick to effective religious education. With this, equality can be ensured for all the religions and their followers. After all, the question is not whether religion should disappear from schools, but whether it can be taught in a way that unites rather than divides. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.